Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Maine interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Addie. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been up to.
I am Addie. I'm a farmer and a life coach and a mom from Missouri. And I've just been reading books and hanging out, you know, all the regular things. We have four kids, and so I go to basketball and I listen to audiobooks at sporting events and read books in all of my extra minutes.
I love this. And you have read almost 400 books in the last year, so...
Yeah, I read a lot of books. You're pretty special to get to know that number, because I try not to talk about it. You know, people are not kind about that.
No, they're not. I don't understand. Like, you know, like, but I think it's important to say, like, it's about what you prioritize. And we'll talk about that, like how to read more and how to make time to read and all those different things. Now that, you know, a lot of people discover reading in 2020 while they were in the pandemic, you know, hiding in their house, and they're like, and with TikTok and BookTok exploder, they're just discovering all these books that, as we were talking before we went on air, were the OGs reading these books like years ago, you know?
Yeah, forever ago, yes.
Forever ago, and you're like, yeah, I read that like a while ago, you know?
Yeah, I remember reading that series when it actually came out and waiting for the next one.
Yes. Yes. And so I think it's like important to talk about, like, you know, how do we make time for reading? Because it's important. Like, for the listeners, I worked with Addie before as a life coach, and every so often I will come with my biggest problem is my reading life. And that's actually because it's important to me. Reading is my hobby. It's a way that I escape. It's a way that I cope with life in some ways. It helps my anxiety. It's a good meditation practice. And so, Addie, tell us, like, you know, why reading? You know, let's talk about, how did you get started with reading? Were you a reader or?
No, I'm a lifelong reader. Yeah. I can remember being like little and being an early adopter to books, and then being like, you know, that movie Matilda, where she goes and hangs out in the library when she's like 4 years old. I wasn't four, but I can remember walking to the library from like my mom's work or my grandparents' work and carrying like two hands of Walmart bags full of books and then reading them all in a week and then taking them back and getting new ones. I knew all the librarians by name. They knew what I liked. I would read books and books and books and books. And then you know how we do, like you get into high school, and I'm old enough that when I got to high school, we didn't have YA.
No, we did not. It was mass market. I was talking to another author. I was like, YA in the 90s, 80s and 90s was mass market, ghostwritten by like someone in New York in Scholastics or in Penguin Random House telling us, these girls would like to have boyfriends and do this.
I went from Lois Lowry to Danielle Steele, straight up. And I used the public library. I don't remember using the high school library, but I used the public library all through school, read less in college. But then I don't know if I've ever told you this. We moved to Alabama the year after we got married, and we moved and had nothing. Like, we were newly married. We had a hand-me-down couch and a recliner that leaned to the left. And we were like, we're good. We're going to get jobs. He had a job. We moved for his job, but I didn't have a job. I got odds and ends jobs in the mall, but we were not going to get TV because it was expensive. The internet was $1 million back in that dial-up days. Mm-hmm. We were just trying to be bare bones. And I immediately went to the library. And I think I read every Nora Roberts book they had. And then I read every Judith McNaught, if I hadn't read it yet. I just went through the shelves and I read everything because it was the only source of entertainment. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any money. You know, I just kept reading books, and it's just continued. And when my kids were little, I'll just kind of gateway into like how I've leveled up. When my kids were little, it was harder, right? Because they took so much of my capacity. And I honestly didn't think about it. It just didn't occur to me to read nonstop. I read, but not like I do now. And I realized when my son, who's my youngest, was little, that he didn't really care if I watched Peppa Pig. I didn't need to watch the show. I just needed to sit there right next to him. So I was like, this is where my Kindle comes into play. And so I would read and he would watch TV. And as long as I was in his space, we were good. And that changed all the things for me.
So were you an early adopter with eBooks, or how did you got the eBooks, you know, into your life? Or, you know, was it?
Yeah, I was a pretty early adopter. Like, I had the Kindle with the keyboard.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think I got it when Scarlett was born. So that would be 12 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. I was a book person, and like actual book. And I used to take them. I used to go to Barnes and Noble's, and it was like a whole experience to go buy books and stuff like that. And then I would take the books and I would read in the subway, because there was like, I had an hour commute. And so that was a way for me to have a conversation with some random New Yorker, be like, oh, I read this book, blah, blah, blah. Or being like, get my book recommendations were in the subway, of like people like, you know, showing whatever book was out there.
Yeah. That's such a cool community kind of feel.
Yeah, like books. I think there's like a, there's a Books in the Subway. I think there's like a, in an Instagram account, there's like men reading books and untrained, something like that. There's quite a few of those. But I didn't adopt ebooks until 2016, when I had a job and I had to pretend, I just told this to my current boss, I had to pretend that I was doing work because I had nothing to do. So I just read from my phone. And I was like, yeah, I spend the whole day reading on my phone. And then I just like, every time there was like I was done with a book, Amazon will tell me what the next book is, and I'll just buy it over and over and over. And I ended up reading that.
So anyway, you were on the subway. Oh, you were at your job reading books.
I was at my job reading books. I spent a whole like 8 months reading books from May. I started the job in May. I went on a trip and I went on a solo trip to Europe by myself. And I just basically just had a Kindle. I think I had a Kindle, like an old school Kindle that I just bought that I had not used. And I just like brought in like A Court of Thorns and Roses, A Court of Mr. Fury, because the two books were popular at the time. And I read them. And then I read Anna and the French Kiss. I was reading all these YA books because I did not have that YA. Like, we didn't have that when we were growing up, but that was popular at the time. And after that, I started this job, and I had basically the job, all I had to do was do expense reports for the CFO. So once a week, I'll get a bunch of receipts and I'll just put the expense reports done. And then I did not have anything else to do for the rest of the day. So I basically went on Amazon and I just like bought like really cheap 99¢, $1.99 free books. And I'll just binge on them on my phone. Because I had to pretend that I was working. And so people are on the phone all the time. So I just read on my phone. And that's how I read like almost 300 books in that like 8 month period. Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, I think I got a Kindle when I got a Kindle, because that was shortly after we moved to the farm, and we lived so far from any stores. It's 30 minutes to a Walmart, and I didn't have access to the library. So a Kindle was like, I can get a book right now.
Yeah.
It's magic.
It was magic. I did get my library card. I think I was working at Pace. So this is 2008, 2009. I discovered there's a near power library is a grade system. Like, it's a grade system. It got bad after the pandemic, but before the pandemic, while I was living in New York, it was great because they had like a lot of new releases and they had a lot of branches. And there was a branch across the street in City Hall for me. So I just would go and pick up my books and just have them, and I'll just read paper. And then I discovered that you can get Kindle Library. Libby was available. And I was like, oh, I can actually request Libby books. And your part of the library had like, you can request like 10 or 20 books and stuff like that. Once the pandemic happened, I was really sad that I was going to leave New York Power Library behind, but then the pandemic happened, they reduced it to 3 holds and 3 ebooks. And I was like, well, it's not a good system anymore. But I was trying to supplement the library, and I felt that that was like an easy way to get books to read, you know, right away. Libraries were just kind of like a better place to get the books available.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I did the whole get the 99 cent books.
Yeah.
My Kindle was new, all of them. My mom still will be like, oh, I don't know, something I got for free on Kindle.
There were so many, like, it adds up, because if you're reading like a book a day or two books a day, like, it's like thousands of dollars. So, like, yeah, it made sense to just support these indie authors with their 99 cent books or their free books or the newsletters that tell you like free books were available, you know?
That's why we all read Mass Markets in the 90s, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, it's crazy. So now that, you know, we spend the pandemic, you know, living life and doing the things that we're supposed to, now that things are opening up and you're probably like busy and stuff like that, how do you manage to read, you know, as now in this new era of your life?
Well, I do a couple of things. Are you ready for like a list of Addie list? I love lists. So one, I always have books available. I've always got options, right? Yeah. Like, I've either got 5 or 6 things on my Kindle or a stack of books at my house. I go to the library and I check out books. Like, I've always got something handy. Mm-hmm. And I personally like to make a short stack. So like right now, I say short stack, but really I make a post-it and I write down like 3 or 4 books that I'd like to get to this week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always know, do I want a paper book? Do I want a Kindle book? Do I want, what do I want? Kindle Unlimited? I don't know. And I just operate off a short stack all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I always know what I'm reading. Mm-hmm. I read in multiple formats. Right now, my paper book that I'm reading is this big. Mm-hmm. It's giant. It's 800 pages. So I went on to Libby and I got the ebook. So I can bounce back and forth, but I've always got a Kindle book and I've always got a paper book and I've always got an audio book, because then I'm always reading something, whether I'm in the car or I'm doing the dishes or I have 10 minutes to wait for my Starbucks, you know, wherever, I've got a book on me and I've got it in a format that's accessible to me in that minute. So even if I just get a couple pages in, I'm still getting a couple pages in.
Yeah. And so how do you manage social media? Because social media can be not just be present in social media creating content, but like social media as a consumer, because that takes time away from reading, you know. How do you manage your social media consumption with reading?
I sometimes it is a distraction. Sometimes I just put it in the kitchen. Like, I've got my watch. So I know that if there's somebody who calls me or somebody who sends me a text, those are the important things, right? Like, that'll ping my watch, but the social media can wait, because otherwise I will do exactly what you said. I'll answer every Instagram message and then I'll look at this and I'll check the shipping on the UPS app and I'll look at all of the things and I won't stay focused. And when I want to stay focused, especially when I'm like, okay, I have 30 minutes for lunch, I want to eat the sandwich and read, then I need to put my phone somewhere else.
Yeah. I was just telling a friend this weekend, I somehow stumbled upon TikTok because I was like, oh, let me just spend 5 minutes on TikTok. I spent 3 hours. I knew everyone's business of gossip that's not even my gossip that I needed to care about. I understood. I saw like corporate speak and different things. And I'm like, I'm filled with useless information that have nothing to do with this, you know?
I will say that I don't TikTok.
Yeah, I think it's like, for me, I'm an elder millennial, and I think TikTok is just not for me. Like, it's not.
I've not gone there yet. I'm not saying that I never will, but for now, I don't have TikTok, and I am okay because it all ends up on Reels anyway.
We get the age out of Reels. Like, we're like elder millennials. We're like, we get the 2 weeks old, like, you know, the ones that are like, you know, they made it to the cut of the Hunger Games. Like, the odds were ever in their favor. And these are the Reels that you should check out, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't need to know about someone else's dating story or someone's apartment or someone's stuff like that. It's like nosy. And it's just like, it's a lot of noise. And I'm like, I can't.
I've also pared down my like Instagram stories and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, if I like hide people and do things like that so that my list is a little bit more curated.
Yeah. Love it. And where do you get your recommendations?
Oh gosh. Everywhere, but also nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like I'm always looking and I used to get them from podcasts. I am a podcaster, but I'm not always a fantastic podcast listener.
Same.
So usually just from friends. Like I watch specific people
mm-hmm.
on Instagram. There are a handful of people that I know are solid reps who read like me mm-hmm. as far as like historical romance goes. I know I have authors that I like. I have publishers that I trust. And so I just try to listen and pay attention. Bookstores that I follow who I trust. Because mm-hmm. I've been burned. You know, we've all been burned. We've all been like, oh yeah, that book sounds great. It was not, you know. And the flip of that is the books that I really love that someone else is totally trashed. I'm like, okay, well, we're not the same. I like you as a human, but you don't get to talk to me about books anymore.
Yeah. I love this. I love that you set a boundary of like, you know what? You're just not my book twin. It is okay. You know, like it's okay. Yeah, I think for me, like I got burned by Instagram, and like I know Instagram is like not my trusted source of, you know, information. YouTube does a better job for me. I don't listen to podcasts because I get the noise. I don't want to. I'm afraid of stealing someone's content by doing the same thing over and over. So like doing similar content, similar niche. So I need to get my recommendations from certain places. I learned that I get that a lot of books that the publishers are sending us, I might be burned out by them, you know? And so there's a level of like, I personally like discovering new books. I love like scrolling through Libby and scrolling through Amazon and the algorithm and letting the algorithm do its magic as opposed to being like having someone to be like, here's the book you need to read now. I get burned out with that, you know?
Well, and I say that as a person who sometimes does say, here's the book you need to read now, but you just never know.
Yeah.
What's simple behind book. The scenes. Yeah. You don't know, did they actually like the book? Are they just, like, I have learned the hard way mm-hmm. about who rates books higher than they really mean.
Yeah.
You know, I know, like, oh, if I see so-and-so gave somebody 4 stars, that really means 3.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, I agree that because there's a reason why the star rate, I don't trust a star rating, like, to be honest, like, I just don't trust it. My star rating has shifted, and they're shifted because of reasons outside of my control, and there's reasons within my control, and so I try not to review books because I really don't, I think it's nobody's business what I think about the book. I can recommend a book and can tell you based on your history or based on your interest, this book may not work for me, but it will work for you. And I like that idea of having an opportunity to share books as wide as possible to recommend them, but not to tell you like, here's all the reasons why it sucks, you know, or here's the reason why it's like the greatest book on earth. Cause then you're going to have people who are going to be like, no, that's what I hated that book, you know?
Well, and that's something else that I do pay attention to is that I don't talk publicly about books that I don't finish mm-hmm. or books that I don't like. If I finish it, I will put just a star rating or no rating on Goodreads. Goodreads has a no rating option. You don't have to mark anything other than read. And I just don't want to put negative vibes out there. And like you said, my opinion and your opinion might not be the same.
Yeah.
And I never want to be the review that gets in an author's head. And I know that there's this whole world out there that's like, Goodreads is not for authors. Well, sometimes authors still read it. And I just want to put kind words out there and not negative words. And on social media, it doesn't matter if I say this book is great or this book is bad. Someone's going to say that I recommended it if I show it.
Yeah.
So if I don't like it, you don't see it.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel it. Or if the book is problematic, you just don't need to show it. You know what I mean? Like,
well, and problematic is vague, right? Like you're problematic and my problematic.
Yeah.
Might not be the same because of our life experiences.
Yeah. So yeah, I love this idea. What's on your short list for books to read this week?
Oh, well, this week on my little list, are you ready?
Yeah.
I have Acts Wait, I'm currently reading the Second Crescent City book by Sarah J. Maas. I don't know if I'm into it or if I'm not into it, but I'm reading it.
It's 800 pages. It's a tome.
It's 800 pages. And today I texted a friend and I was like, I think she just writes gobbledygook in the first 200 pages. And then she's like, oh, wait, now let's have a story.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm at. I'm at the point where things are starting to come together. And so I'm like, okay, maybe I can get into this. We'll see. Yeah. My book club online is reading Hester. It's a historical fiction retelling thingy. So that's on my list. Accidentally Amy by Lynn Painter. It's a yep. KU book. Lunar Love by somebody that I don't know, but has a really pretty cover. It comes out.
I read it.
Yes.
Lauren something song. I'll put it in the show notes. It's a matchmaking forever title.
Yeah, I read like two chapters. It seems cute so far.
It's cute. It's a. It was. I heard it was going to be a women's fiction. It's not women's fiction. It's like a cute rom-com.
Oh, good. Yeah. I need a cute rom-com. Something that reads fast, especially with this other one that I'm slowly working my way through.
Yeah, Accidentally Amy is available on Hoopla and Scrib if you want the audio.
Oh, I did not know that it was audio.
Yeah.
Hester is on Scrib for audio. And so that's my plan. I've got some drive time in later this week. And so I was like, if I can read Crescent City and then put Hester on in my drive around the world later this week, that will make me feel happy. And then I can just like do whatever I want on my Kindle.
Yeah. There we go.
Go ahead. Okay, read them in monster romances and whatever. Well,
I think since you're like reading some fantasy romance, I think you need to give Carissa Broadbent a try. She has a couple series, but she's in KU. The first series that I really like, and it's actually just started. So second book is coming out in March, is The Serpent and the Wings of Night. It's kind of like a fun, it's vampires and there is like a trial. So if you remember, did you read Corn, Thorns, and Roses?
Yes.
Okay, so it's like a mountain. Basically the whole thing is about the mountain. You know, like kind of like a trial. They have to do different things, and it's enemies to lovers, and there's like it's a whole different world. But it's really good, and it's like fast paced, and it does not need editor. So which
if
is
I can function after reading Crescent City,
yeah, yeah.
But so, it might put me in a fantasy hangover. We'll see.
That's my issue with Crescent City, the first one. I was like, oh, I'm like I usually restart JMass when I'm traveling. And I was traveling and I was like reading Sarah at first. And then I had the second one. And I was like, no, I am tired of 800 pages of nothing.
I just read a really huge Rosamund Pilcher, like historical fiction over Christmas break. And so probably I backed up two huge books too close together, but it's going faster today. And everyone is like, no, it's really good. You need to stick with it. So I'm going to have faith and keep moving forward and just be okay if it's not a speed read.
Yeah, I think so. It's like it's gonna take you a couple of days, or you know, just to get through it. So
did I tell you that I've been reading my paper books by alphabet? Did you know I've been doing that?
Oh yes, I saw that on Instagram. So how's that going?
Not been fast at all.
Yeah,
it's very satisfying.
Okay, so what was your A and B?
My A was Attachments by Rainbow Rowell.
Yep.
My B was Bomb Shelter by Mary Laura Philpott, which is essays. It's nonfiction essays.
Yeah.
So I started choosing one from my shelf. It's only paper books that I already own. I'm not bringing anything new in, and I'm not doing any of my mass markets. That's a completely different category, unless I'm struggling with a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm currently on T. But as I progress through it, I will pull out the letter and look at the stack and then pick whatever I'm in the mood for. But then I get to a place where I'm like, well, I kind of want to read all of these. So sometimes I read all of them and then move on to the next letter. But it is clearing my shelf and it's super satisfying. I love doing it. And I've tripped into some stuff that I probably wouldn't have picked up for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of it's romance and some of it's not. And some of it's new to me authors, and some of it's second in the series, and it's just been really, I don't know, like it's satisfying is the best word, because I'm like, oh, it feels so good to like pull all of these S's off that I kind of get cranky when I bring in a new, like from a letter I already read. I'm like, already read that letter. Get out of here.
I love this idea of like using your paperbacks and actually having a purpose behind it.
Yeah.
So do you have them sorted out by letters, or how do you have them to know?
Yes, I have them alphabetized by title. I'm doing it by title.
Yeah.
And like I say, it's not mass market, so it's all trades and hardbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sorted by like romance versus non-romance. And mm-hmm. and sometimes I look at them and I'll read the first two chapters and be like, yeah, no, this one is not staying here. And it, you know what I mean? Like, I just am using it to kind of look at my shelf in a different way and think about books differently. I would really like to do it on my Kindle, because shuffling that order on your Kindle is really satisfying too.
Yeah. I think I may borrow this story with either audio or Kindle, or maybe do both, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It just feels really good to like check those boxes.
Yeah. I like goal stars. You know, I'm a goal star kind of girl. So I'm like, can I check a box here? You know? Yeah. So, and what are you doing with the books that you don't want to keep? Are you donating them? Are you putting them in the Little Free Library? Are you selling them? What's a...
Well, I have a Little Free Library.
Yep.
And it is in my tiny town, 25 minutes from my house. So first round, all of my books go through that. They go to the Little Free Library first. And then the patrons and readers in my town took the word library seriously. And so they don't keep any of the books. They put them all right back in there when they're done reading them. It's the cutest thing. And so once a month, I clean it all out and I put all fresh new books in. And when I get them home, I do one of two things. If they're still in really nice shape, I put them on Pango and see if I can sell some. And then I bring more books in, right? Like, it's just so that it all goes back to the Little Free Library. And then if they're not, or if I think, oh, you know, this isn't like something new and shiny, then I have a friend who fills all of the Little Free Libraries in Columbia, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
She has just like collected them and found them, and she fills all of them. And so when I'm done, all of my books get dropped off on her porch and they cycle through there as well.
That's a great way to recycle. And we have the Pango CEO is coming at some point, so I'll link it to the show notes if it's already air or it's not. The Pango CEO came to the show to talk about Pango books. So Pango books are a great resource to make the world go around reading in an inexpensive way, you know.
And I just bought books for Linus on Pango this week. Yeah. Like, they're still coming in the mail.
Yeah. So I love this. And so what's your mass market reading challenge for mass markets? You mentioned, you hinted.
Well, I'm on T for the alphabet.
Yeah.
I thought about when I finish it up, I might just do mass markets by alphabet.
Yeah. So that would be interesting, because most mass markets are like either romantic suspense or like, you know, or historical romance. So
most of mine are historical, but I have some cowboy and I have some fantasy and I have a little bit of suspense. And so I thought I could pull them all off and alphabetize them. And my kids would love to help me with that.
Yeah. That sounds like a fun project. So,
yeah. So that might be my next step. And because I've been so focused on the other books this year, I've kind of neglected the mass market. So it'll probably feel exciting to get into them.
Yeah. I love this. Awesome. So, and the best thing is you're reading what you own, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Addie, tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me online at addieyoder.com. You can find me at addie.yoder on Instagram. And in my bio on Instagram is all the things, my book club, my podcast called Grace and Growth with Addie. Everything is in my bio.
Awesome. Thank you, Addie, for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with a free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on Libro.fm for the price of one with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.